الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. Praise be to Allah سبحانه وتعالى who enjoined Hajj to the sacred house with his servant and give good reward on that and accepted Hajj will be rewarded with nothing but paradise. I testify that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, with whom is no associate. The Lord of glory and splendor, I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's servant and messenger, the best of those who perform prayer, give zakah, made hajj, and observed fasting. May Allah bless him, his family, his companions, and those who will follow them on proper way until the day of resurrection. O people, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfill the obligation of Hajj, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoined on you, as much as you can. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, says, which translates as, in it are signs manifest. For example, the station of Abraham. Whoever enters attains security. Pilgrimage thereto is a duty men owe to Allah. Those who can afford the journey, but if any deny faith, Allah stands not in need of any of His creatures. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Islam is to testify that there is no deity but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. Establish prayers, give zakah, observe fasting in Ramadan, and make hajj to the house if you can afford it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Islam is founded on these five pillars, and that if any of these five is lacking, Islam will be imperfect. Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, said, I was about to send envoys to the towns to check on all those who have means to make hajj but do not perform it, in order to demand them to pay jizya. They are not Muslims. The obligation of hajj is confirmed by the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, as well as the consensus of agreement of the Muslim scholars. whoever denies the obligation of Hajj will be regarded as infidel, and whoever abandons it because of his indifference to it, though he admits its obligation, he is on the verge of a disbelief. After mentioning the obligation of Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, which is translated as, in it are signs manifest, for example, the citation of Abraham, whoever entered it attained security, pilgrimage, thereto is duty, men owe to Allah, those who can afford the journey, but if any deny faith, Allah stands not in need of any of His creatures. How can a Muslim feel assured when he abandons Hajj while he is able to afford for it both financially and physically, though he is well aware that Hajj is an obligation and one of the pillars of Islam? How can a Muslim withhold money from spending it on Hajj, though he spends much of it in worldly pleasures? How can a Muslim save himself the fatigue of Hajj while he exerts himself in worldly endeavors? How can he slacken to perform Hajj while it is enjoined to be performed once during one's whole lifetime? How can he delay in the performing Hajj while he does not know if his life will extend a day longer or not? So fear Allah, servants of Allah, and fulfill the obligation of Hajj enjoined on you by Allah with sincere devotion to Him, complying with His commandments, and stimulated by the desire to obey Him. If you are truly believers, Allah the Almighty said, which means it is not fitting for a believer, man or woman, when a matter has been decided by Allah and His Messenger, to have any option about their decision. If anyone disobeys Allah and His Messenger, he is indeed on a clearly wrong path. If a believer performs Hajj for once after he attains property, it will be sufficient for him and will fulfill this essential cornerstone of Islam. He will not be demanded to perform either Hajj or Umrah after that, unless he vows to make either of them, in which case he will be obliged to fulfill his vow. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, let whoever vows to obey Allah fulfill his vows. O Muslims, it is an indication of Allah's mercy and wisdom that He specified certain limits for His obligation. In order to well-defined responsibilities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made such obligations most fit the door, the place, and the time on which such obligation should be fulfilled. Like all other obligations, Hajj has certain limits and conditions that should first be fulfilled in order to demand a Muslim to perform Hajj. Among the conditions of the obligations of Hajj is to attain puberty. One of the conditions of the obligation of Hajj is the ability, both financially and physically. Allah the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means in it are signs manifest, for example, the station of Abraham, whoever entered it attains security, pilgrimage thereto is duty, men owe to Allah, those who are capable and can afford the journey, but if any deny faith, Allah stands not in need of any of his creatures. Thus, if this condition is lacking, Hajj becomes not obligatory. financial ability is realized when someone owned enough money to undertake the journey of Hajj after fulfilling his needs and the needs of his dependents, including outlay, clothing, and hire for his accommodation for 1 year, and after repaying the debt he owes to others, whose time of repayment is due. If someone owns money but needed to fulfill any of the above mentioned obligations, he will not be obliged to make Hajj. The same applies in the case of the one who is in debt. Until he repays it, the term debt includes all credits owed by a person, including loans, purchase prices, hires, and others. Thus, one who owes even $1 to another is considered a debtor and will not be obliged to make Hajj unless he repays the debt he owes. Islam attains so much importance on fulfilling debt that murderer's sin will be expiated except for the debt he owed. According to Islam, the soul of the deceased is suspended until his debt is repaid on his behalf. The Hajj obligation does not fall on a man whose deferred debt is guaranteed by a pledge equal to its value. Rather, the debtor will be requested to perform Hajj if he has the means to do so. However, if the deferred debt is not guaranteed with a pledge that equals its value, the debtor will not be requested to perform Hajj unless he absolves himself from this debt. Physical capability denotes that one has the ability to reach the sacred house in Mecca on his own without difficulty. If he cannot do that, or can do it but with extreme difficulty, such as the case of the sick person, he may wait until his condition improves. If the improvement is possible, if he waits but dies before making Hajj, Hajj is to be made on his behalf with the expenses taken from his legacy. If his conditions are not likely to improve, such as the case of senility or chronic incurable diseases, he should authorize another person to make Hajj on his behalf, either from his relatives or others. If he dies before assigning a person to make Hajj on his behalf, any person may make Hajj for him, with the expenses covered from the former's legacy. If a woman finds no mahram, husband, or a male relative whose she cannot marry to accompany her on the journey, she will not be obliged to perform Hajj. In this case, she will be regarded as those who do not have the ability to perform Hajj. Since she is legally banned from travel on a journey without a mahram, Ibn Abbas said, "I heard the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, it is not permissible for a man to be alone with a woman, and no lady should travel except with a mahram. It's her husband or a person whom she cannot marry in any case forever." Such as her husband, her father, or brother, or others. Then a man got up and said, "Oh Allah, Messenger, I have enlisted in the army for such and such ghazwa, and my wife is proceeding for Hajj." So Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Go and perform the Hajj with your wife." In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered the man to accompany his wife in the journey of Hajj without asking him whether she was young or that she would join a group of women in the journey. This formulates a proof that a woman is prohibited to travel without a mahram on any occasion or by any means of transport, that is plane, cars. A mahram should be a mature male, as an immature person cannot serve the purpose of this condition, which is to preserve woman's honor and chastity. O Muslims, let those who fulfill the conditions of Hajj perform it without delay, before he is overtaken by death, or then regret when it will be too late for regret. Allah the Almighty says, which translates as, turn you to your Lord in repentance and bow to His will before the penalty comes on you. After that, you shall not be helped, and follow the best of the courses revealed to you from your Lord before the penalty comes on you of a sudden while you preserve not. Least the soul should then say, oh, it is me in that I neglected the duty, cheered Allah, and was but among those who mock. Or least it should say, if only Allah had guided me, I should certainly have been among the righteous. Or least it should say, when it actually sees the penalty, if only I had another chance, I should certainly be among those who do good. Whoever performs Hajj abiding by the legal rules with sincere devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with adherence to the conduct of the Messenger of Allah, his Hajj will be perfect. No matter whether that Aqiqah was slaughtered by his parents on the seventh day of his birth or not. May Allah guide you and I to establish His ordinance and to abide by their limits out of His bounty and generosity, for He is the most bounteous and the most generous. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness for you and for me and for all Muslims from all sins, so seek His forgiveness, for He is oft forgiving, most merciful. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. أدعو الله عسى أن تكون هذه ساعة إجابة. Supplicate, may Allah accept our supplication at this time. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. Praise be to Allah who enjoined devotional practices in order to purify the souls and perfect faith, dividing them to that which is purely physical and that which is purely financial, and other kinds of devotion, which combine the two types. I testify that there is no deity but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with whom there is no associate, the king, the judge. I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Allah's servant and messenger who was sent to all humankind and jinn. May Allah bless him, his family, his companions, and those who will follow them in the proper way until the resurrection day. Hajj is a physical devotion that a servant is requested to fulfill in person. So a small part of it pertains to money, such as the offerings of a sacrifice. However, the Prophet's Sunnah clarified that proxy is permissible in Hajj in case one is unable to perform it on his own due to legal excuses. It was relayed in Sahih al-Bukhari on the authority of Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, that a woman said, "Messenger of Allah, my father is very old. There is an old obligation of Hajj upon him from Allah, but he is not capable of sitting on the back of the camel." Thereupon Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Perform Hajj on his behalf." This happened in the farewell pilgrimage. Another woman came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "My mother had vowed to perform Hajj, but she died before performing it. May I perform Hajj on my mother's behalf?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "Perform Hajj on her behalf. Had there been a debt on your mother, would you have paid it or not? So pay Allah's debt, as he has more right to be paid." If a person has the ability to perform Hajj in person, he is not permitted to authorize another person to make Hajj on his behalf. Many people loosely resort to Hajj by proxy in the case of supererogatory Hajj, even if they are capable to perform it in person, thus depriving themselves from the reward attained from the fatigue of worship and all that it contains of remembrance, supplication, submissiveness to Allah, redoubling of rewards, useful meetings, etc. In one of the two narrations reported from Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he forbade proxy in supererogatory Hajj for those who are capable to perform it in person. Thus, a Muslim should not be careless concerning the matter of Hajj. He should perform supererogatory Hajj in person if he wishes, or provide pilgrims with money in order to share with them the reward of Hajj. For people, Hajj is a kind of worship done by the servant as a means to please Allah and to attain rewards in the hereafter. The servant's attention should not be completely diverted to attaining worldly gains through Hajj. Unfortunately, many people who perform Hajj on behalf of others do this solely for the sake of money, which is prohibited, since worldly consideration should not spoil worship. Allah the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala says, which translates as, "Those who desire the life of the present and its glitter, to them we shall pay the price of their deeds therein without diminution. They are those for whom there is nothing in the hereafter but the fire. Vain are the designs they frame therein, and of no effect are the deeds that they do." He also says, which translates as, "So when you have accomplished your holy rites, celebrate the praises of Allah as you used to celebrate the praises of your fathers, with far more heart and soul. There are men who say, 'Our Lord, give us the bounties in this world,' but they will have no portion in the hereafter." Those who charge for proxy in Hajj should devote their intention to seek the pleasure of Allah
aiming to exercise worships related to Allah's house, remembering Him and supplicating Him, in addition to the fulfillment of the needs of their fellow Muslims who authorized them to make Hajj on their behalf. They should not pour all their attention on gaining worldly benefits, for if this becomes their sole interest, they will not be permitted to charge for proxy in Hajj. If one entertains a sound intention for proxy in Hajj, all the money he gets from the authorizing person will be his, unless the latter demand refunding remaining amounts after covering the cost of Hajj. The devotee person should intend to perform Hajj and Umrah on behalf of the authorizing person, unless the former stipulates to perform Umrah for his benefit. A person deputized to make Hajj on behalf of another person cannot deputize a third party unless after obtaining the consent of the person who commissioned him to make Hajj on his behalf. All the reward of the acts related to ritual of Hajj goes to the authorizing person, but the redoubling of reward through offering supplicatory prayers and tawaf, as well as extra types of worship that exceeds the ritual, goes to the authorized person. The representatives in Hajj should exert the best of his effort to accomplish the verbal and practical acts related to the ritual, since this is a kind of trust that he should fulfill duly. When pronouncing talbiyah, he should say labbayka an fulan, or O Allah, I respond to your call on behalf of so and so. If he forgets his name, he may intend it with his heart, saying I respond to your call on behalf of one who authorized me to make this umrah or this Hajj. May Allah guide you and I to be sincere in our intention and to perfect our deeds. May Allah guide you and I to the straightforward path, for He is the most bounteous, most generous. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of all worlds. May Allah bless our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family, and all his companions. اللهم اصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا، واصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا، واصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معدنا، واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا من كل خير، والموت راحة لنا من كل شر، ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا، وبلغنا مما يرضيك آملنا، واختم بالباقيات الصالحات أعمالنا. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا وإمامنا وقدوتنا وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم، وأقم الصلاة.